Welcome to the EcoNews Report. I'm your host, Kirk Cahoon of Greenway Partners. Joining me in the studio today are David Narum of Greenway Partners, Tyler Kearns of Humboldt Planet Green, Kai Neander of Humboldt Planet Green, and Steve Salzman of Humboldt Planet Green. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, so today we're talking about the Planet Green. It's the fifth annual conference. So Steve, you're the executive director of Planet Green and the founder of this illustrious organization. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we can expect this weekend?
Whole lot of fun, rain or shine. This is our fifth annual. It is the Building Green Communities Conference. Its focus is on building green buildings and on building green communities. There's a bunch of different things happening, and we'll talk about those as we go.
I noticed that the theme for this conference, as evidenced by a stump with a tree growing out of it, is the next generation. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what inspired maybe even the logo for the conference, but also the theme.
Yes, it came to me in a dream. Actually, it came to me, not the logo so much as the theme, because of our meetings that we have around the community about energy and about future things and about forests and about pathways and about all sorts of different things that we have community meetings about. You look around and you notice no one in a room is, you know, under 40 and maybe no one under 50. And so it started kind of dawning on a lot of people that are involved in these things that we need to bring more youth to the table, get them engaged in what we're doing here. So that was the idea, is the next generation. Next generation is also sort of a play on words about the next generation of technology and where we're going with all these different solar technologies and energy alternative technologies.
And let's just be really clear for the Trekkies out there. This is not a Star Trek convention. This has nothing to do with Star Trek. So Kai, you are the youth leadership coordinator for Planet Green. And I also noticed that you are a international youth ambassador for the Jane Goodall Institute. What drew you to working with Planet Green?
Well, I think this year's theme ties in a lot with the work that I do with the Jane Goodall Institute. I currently work with the Institute on a national level and internationally, speaking with and meeting with high school and college students about community service and getting involved on a local level to combat global issues and help to shape their future. And this year's theme ties directly into that, kind of helping to engage the next generation and bring them, or us, I'm a senior in high school, into the fold and help us kind of take a stand and take a lead on helping to create what we want to see in our future. And this conference in particular, the Building Green Communities, is very, very applicable to where we want to go and what we want this planet to look like a couple decades down the road. And it's been wonderful to tie the mission and the goal of the Jane Goodall Institute into the mission of this conference.
Kai, this is David. Maybe you could speak just a little bit about the mission of the Jane Goodall Institute, and then I'd like to follow up with another question.
Definitely. Well, Jane Goodall is a very well-known anthropologist and did a lot of the research on chimpanzees that kind of reshaped what we know to be animal and what we know to be human. And she created this institute originally to help save the chimpanzees. But after some time, she realized that in order to save one species, one must work on problems around the globe because everything is so interconnected. And one of the main programs of the Jane Goodall Institute is the Roots and Shoots Youth Leadership Initiative, which is what I work for. And the goal of the Roots and Shoots Initiative, which is a network of hundreds of thousands of young people around the globe in over 120 countries, to engage on a local level in our communities, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, and take an action to combat a problem that affects us here, but also affects the world as a whole.
Well, that's quite an excellent mission. One of the themes of the EcoNews report that Kirk and I have been pursuing is this idea of innovation, and it's going to be addressed in the conference discussing innovation and entrepreneurship in the context of the next generation. But a part of innovation is creativity, and there's been a lot of research about how kids naturally are very good at what's called divergent thinking or creative thinking, ability to hold two opposing ideas at the same time. And then as we age, like me, we tend to have more what's called convergent thinking. We tend to think, you know, without being able to hold all these different ideas and just basically less creatively. And so the question has been raised by many very thoughtful people in such forums as the TED Talks, et cetera, that it's kind of silly to be withholding the youth, the minds of the youth and the young generation from contributing their ideas to solving some of these wicked problems that the planet is facing. And in fact, I know that many schools throughout the country and the world engage their youth in solving local problems, local place-based kind of problems, and as a real part of their education. Have you had any experience with a problem-based, project-based kind of community service learning?
Definitely. One of the big curriculums of the Roots and Shoots program is based off of a kind of a three-tiered structure: knowledge, compassion, action. And a quote that I like to use is, only if we know can we care, only if we care can we help, and only if we help will we be saved. And it kind of ties back into the schools, and if we can educate individuals about an issue, about a problem, we as humans are impelled to take action. We will care about it and we will take action. And I've had the opportunity to work with Global Issues Clubs and the Global Issues Network around the world with young people who dedicate a portion of their school day to looking into researching, learning about the problems that face this planet, and then the solutions that they can help work towards on a local and global level.
That's great. So, Tyler, you're the intern for Planet Green, and I know your internship is part of your program for completion for your studies at Sonoma State University. Tell us a little bit about your background at Sonoma State and why this was a good fit for you.
My background at Sonoma State is in the Energy Management and Design program with a minor in the Business Administration program as well. And in that program, we studied a lot about the large electrical systems of the U.S. and pretty much the world, transmission and distribution. And then in my business minor courses, we study obviously entrepreneurship, accounting, and such. And I got a real kind of mix of beliefs and demographics from both of those. And then while looking for an internship, I was here in Humboldt for the summer doing some work, and I ran into Steve Salzman here, and he had this vision of the green building program and some stuff that he had been doing with the county of Humboldt and where he wanted to see that go. And I really wanted to back that and be a part of that and wanted to add the energy aspect to that as well. And from talking with him and getting the position, I kind of went full steam ahead with that. And then on came the conference and became the trade show and sponsorship coordinator for the conference.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty engaged. I'm sure you've got a lot of time invested in that. So, Steve, you've actually done a good job. This year, it seems to kind of switch away from your original focus, and you've got a lot of support from young folks that you haven't had in the past. And why did you choose to kind of get more young people involved in the planning elements of the conference?
Because I'm feeling old.
Well, you are old.
But no, it's just a lot of work, and involving some new blood into the mix here really, you know, helps liven it up and get new perspectives on
and new ideas.
Yeah, new ideas. Yeah. Like David was saying, you know, I need some more creative blood. I'm getting old and stodgy, and you know, can't think past one idea at a time. So if you can bring in more, and we've Kai Neander has helped out in the local high schools, and we've reached out to HSU and CR, trying to pull in student populations there to get involved. And you know, that's something that I wasn't as good at, and I've not done so well out in the past, but I think we have a lot more engagement. We have about 6 or 7 coordinator positions that we're having regular meetings. Half of those are populated by, in fact, all of those are populated by people probably all under 30, and a lot of them even under 20. So I think we've accomplished that mission of trying to bring some more into the fold.
That's great, and that does seem to give your organization more long-term sustainability, as your interests may wax and wane, but these folks are there behind you to pick up any slack.
That was the idea for the conference, is to hand it over to the next generation.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, a lot of times people talk about innovation in the context of the seeds of new ideas and, you know, preparing the seed bed for new growth, whether it's entrepreneurial growth or preparing students in our educational institutions to think more creatively and more productively, I guess, with new ideas. To that end, you have a guest speaker, a keynote speaker.
Maybe
you can talk about him a little bit, David Hopkins.
Yes, David Hopkins. He's described himself as a social entrepreneur. And this is one that combines their career with doing good. A lot of times it's social justice issues. A lot of times environmental issues. You know, like the Jane Goodall Institute would be a good example of somebody who's a social entrepreneur, someone who does well by doing good. So it's combining your career with your beliefs and passions rather than having your day job and then go home and save the world at night. Put them all together in one package.
This probably is something that even adults could probably benefit from.
Very much so. Yes. Very much so. So David's coming up from the Bay Area to present on Friday. We actually have a series of pre-conference seminars that are focused on youth issues, and he's going to present at that. Then he'll present again on Saturday, and then he's also the keynote speaker on Saturday night at 6:30. We have a dinner party for you all to be invited to, and you can go onto the HumboldtPlanetGreen.org website and register for that. It's a buffet dinner, but that just keeps you around until the keynote address kicks off.
Well, Kai, I want to hit you back up. There's a question I've been wondering about. If you're pursuing this work with the Jane Goodall Institute, that seems to take you far afield. You're a resident of Humboldt County. Both you and Tyler, I believe, are originally born here, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And I know you're about to go away to school. What about Humboldt County do you think lends itself to creative projects like this?
Well, Humboldt is an amazing, amazing community. We have, I mean, the natural beauty, the isolation, and yet geographic location close enough to the large communities and large populations. And then just the populace here. We've got a huge group of individuals who are really passionate about the community, are passionate about the environment, and really care about making the future a better place and have a vision for that. And I think that that really affects individuals growing up in this place. And a lot of them are able to look forward into the future. And there's a lot of programs that are happening right now kind of envisioning Humboldt in 2050 or 2020 that just adds to that environment of forward thinking and new ideas. How can we make this place better? But I definitely hope to take that with me to college and forward, but definitely never forget about this place. It's an amazing, amazing community, and I've been very lucky to have the opportunity to grow up here.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the times I think about what it would be like to be a young person. I'm 40, over 40 years old now, but as a young person looking at the environmental problems that are out in the world now and what we might be seeing and how we might be feeling emotionally about those. And so I think it's commendable to both you and Tyler to have engaged to work on some of these problems. I think there's often the opportunity to feel really overwhelmed by the scale of the global problems in the environment. So Tyler, I'm wondering why you think you selected this area of study and what about that, you know, encourages you to continue to pursue resolving these problems instead of feeling overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by them.
Well, what started it to me is that one thing growing up in Humboldt and in Arcata, you are so close to nature in a sense. And I don't like to say that we're not in nature, even when we're in a city, but we have the Arcata Community Forest right at the edge of town. We have the ocean, we have the rivers. You really get a sense of actually seeing ecosystems take place. And that was a big motivator for me that I didn't know growing up. But then once I moved to a city and to where I was more detached from nature, it really motivated me to protect those things or to protect business functions that protect those.
Mm-hmm.
And to educate individuals that are wanting to become entrepreneurs or wanting to join the workforce that all of the products and systems that we have come from nature at some point in the raw resource that they are. And I just want to mainly focus my whole career on keeping that awareness alive in me and not letting it die and spreading it to those that didn't get the chance to grow up in a beautiful place like this, you know, where my river isn't paved and
not sitting in a culvert under a highway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
great. Okay.
I have a question that all three, Steve, Kai, and Ty, could respond to, but maybe Tyler first since we're on you. But there's a number of talks and workshops and also the trade show and expo that we could maybe tell people a little bit about. Do you have a favorite or what's one of your favorite topics from the show coming up?
Well, my most intriguing is I would like to hear David Hopkins talk because he's coming from something I really believe in, and he's pushing it. You know, he's getting out there and getting his voice heard and really it's being heard. And so that's something I'm excited about. The RESCO project is something that I've been hearing about for a couple of years, even down in Sonoma, and haven't really got to be at a meeting or hear it.
Should we explain
about
that just real briefly for our
maybe Steve could explain
that? The RESCO project is a joint project being worked on by the Schatz Energy Research Center and Redwood Coast Energy Authority. It's a grant-funded project, and it's to look and examine the renewable energy resources in the county, wave, wind, water, solar, and biomass, and I believe there's others, and determine if there is sufficient renewable energy resources in the county to satisfy our electric demand. And so they call it RESCO, Renewable Energy Secure Community.
How about the smart meter discussion? That sort of follows on that. Do you have a little prelude to what we might be expecting there? I know it's a contentious issue.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen at these conferences. But I suspect that it will be a very civilized discussion amongst adults about what a smart meter is and what they are capable of doing, and maybe some of the unintended consequences that are occurring from these smart meter programs around the state. It's supposed to be a panel discussion. PG&E will be represented there, as well as somebody from probably the other side of the aisle. The one I'm really interested, though, is the Green Building Program, which is a presentation that Tyler's going to make on Saturday. And, you know, he's been working like mad on this program, him and a couple folks from Redwood Coast Energy Authority, for the last couple months. And it's an online free resource guide to green building. And there's just a ton of information there. And I haven't even been able to review it all yet, as Tyler's been working hard on this thing and putting it up on the website. So he'll be launching that at the Planet Green Conference. Tyler will be giving a lecture about that and running anybody who's interested in that through the website and kind of giving you a tour.
This is Kirk Cahoon of Greenway Partners. Joining me today in the studio on the EcoNews Report is Kai Neander, the Youth Leadership Coordinator for Planet Green, Tyler Kearns, Humboldt Planet Green intern, Steve Salzman, the Executive Director of Planet Green, and David Narum of Greenway Partners.
One of the big draws of this conference every year is the trade show and expo. And I know that we have a lot of exciting booths this year for people. I mean, that draws quite a few of the crowds, especially on a nice day. I mean, people aren't necessarily always going to go listen to, although they should, the sessions. But the trade show, can we find out what people can expect if they enter the gymnasium down at the community center?
Well, they're going to expect about 47 different booths. About 10 of those will be local nonprofit organizations, and the rest will be private merchant firms here in the local area. Many of those are planning architects, energy, solar energy installers,
builders, material suppliers. There's a number of different firms like that. There'll also be a Green Living Center from Fortuna, selling other things that involve green economy.
Right. A lot of these people could be considered local innovators, I imagine.
Yes.
And entrepreneurs.
And entrepreneurs.
Well, let's get to the entrepreneur question for a second. Entrepreneur to a lot of people will ring as a business term. And it's sort of evolving away from that, but I think still it's mostly seen as an entrepreneur, as a business related issue. So why the use of the word entrepreneur? I keep hearing that word a lot, as social entrepreneur. It's referenced as youth entrepreneurship and all these things. And I'm, you know, Kai, do you have an answer on that?
Well, I think the entrepreneur that we're focusing on here is the individual who takes an idea and runs with it 100%. As someone was saying earlier, Steve, I believe, is that it's not something that you go home and work on after work. It's your passion, it's your life, it's what you want to do, and it has a benefit to society. It has a benefit to the planet, has a benefit to the environment. And so a lot of the organizations that will be on the trade show floor are individuals that are making a living, doing things that are beneficial to the environment, are beneficial to the community, and are products or services that are really not offered in very many places. I know SunFrost Refrigerators are going to be at the trade show this year, and they're an organization based here in Humboldt County who ships their refrigerators all over the world and has been used in many different disaster areas and relief zones because of their unique skills and abilities. And I think that the trade show itself will be really inspiring, just to see all of the organizations right here in Humboldt County, in our community, that are individuals dedicating their life to something that is new, something that we haven't seen maybe in the past couple decades, but that they can make a living on, they can be successful at, that then benefit the community as a whole.
Right. And I think, you know, business has often been left out of the equation until maybe the last 15, 20 years when it's talking about environmental issues. I want to read all three of you a quote by Paul Hawken. Business is the only place that is big enough and fast enough to address our global environmental changes. What are your responses?
I'll second that. You know, the business community, as Kirk pointed out, has been sort of left behind. Everybody, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, it was kind of an anti-corporate business mold. And there's still plenty of that around. But the entrepreneurial sort of feeling is that if you have a specialty or a skill or some kind of product you want to make, you can bring that to market and you can make a living at it. It's something that you're passionate about. It's something that you're interested in. And it's something that you have control of, rather than just going to work for some corporation or another business. They make you punch the time clock and you're at their beck and call. I think this is pretty common to Arcata and Humboldt County in general. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in the area that have decided they don't want to just toe the corporate line and they want to do it themselves.
And I think one of the changes in the environmental movement since the 70s and 80s, as you mentioned, with the sort of anti-corporate stance back then, is that corporations are, some, not all, are seriously taking on sustainability as a issue that makes sense for the bottom line and for many other reasons. Mm-hmm. And to that extent, existing businesses, you know, the entrepreneur idea doesn't always have to mean somebody who starts a new business. It can be, they use the term in the business world, intrapreneur, mm-hmm. which is a person who works within an existing business to help innovate, you know, change their ways to cleaner and greener practices.
Mm-hmm. So, through the suggestion box.
Yes, and I would agree that that is accelerating exponentially within the large business sector due to some businesses jumping on board and creating that wave, and then the consumer, really, by voting with their dollar, and the businesses seeing those dollars go to the companies that have made a sustainable shift, and then businesses are, you know, they can morph, they can become something different if the dollar is making them become something different. So that's what I think is really neat to see happening currently in our big business industries.
And so much of our economy in this country is based on consumer purchasing. And I think consumers having some level of awareness of the impact of their choices when they buy things does drive, to a certain point, it does drive decision-making from the companies that make products. If they're hearing from their purchasers that we're concerned about where these things are being made and how they're being made, and that sometimes changes things.
One of the things I think I hope to have come out of this conference is the idea that anybody really can be an innovator. Anybody can be an entrepreneur of different shapes and sizes, of course. But the idea that it's a person toiling away individually in their garage, you know, creating some newfangled invention which is going to save the world, has really given away to the idea that everybody's on board here, that we create solutions together in a collaborative environment, that innovations are really compilations of ideas from a multiple of multiple sources. And I think that's, you know, one of the workshops is on innovation and entrepreneurship, and talking about, it's going to be talking about how the brain, our understanding of the brain and how we create ideas can facilitate more innovation, more anticipation of trends and adaptation, because we're going to be needing to do some adaptation, this type of thing.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we can get a tour of the day. So let's walk us through the day on Friday. So Tyler, what are we doing on Friday?
Well, I think Steve would be a better one for Friday.
Yeah, the Friday is as we started setting the content for the conference, we realized that we had way too much to talk about to do it in one day. So we decided to do a series of pre-conference seminars, and those start at 9 a.m. Registration starts at 8:30. It's at the Arcata Community Center again. It's free. There's three concurrent workshops in the morning. One of them is called Lemonade Day, which is very much about starting a business as a small child. I mean, simple business planning. So they talk about that. There's going to be one called How to Use Your Brain, which David will be instructing us on how to use our brains. And then a third one will be...
I've been dying to
shouldn't
do that,
need
Steve.
Instruction no, on that, but I'll, some of us do.
Yeah, read the instructions on these things.
If you ever drive in Humboldt County, you know that some people are not very much...
A third concurrent workshop is called... It's about... So it's a vocational education program. Then there's going to be a 10:30 to noon workshop by David Hopkins. That'll be talking about social entrepreneurs and innovation entrepreneurship. Then there'll be a lunch break. Then there will be three concurrent workshops in the afternoon. And one of them is about RESCO, one of them is about solar thermal, and one of them is about solar electrical. So there's going to be plenty of hands-on activities on all three of those things.
And you did mention the focus on these initial day on Friday was going to be focused mostly on youth.
Yes, it is mostly focused on youth, although anybody of any age would probably find something of interest at these workshops. We do ask that you register for those workshops. If you go onto the Planet Green website, hit the conference tab, and look for Friday registration, it would be most helpful because there is limited seating.
And that's HumboldtPlanetGreen.org.
PlanetGreen.org.
And Kai, I wonder what you think somebody might get out of this Friday series of workshops as a young person yourself. What might some young people experience there?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Friday workshops for a couple of reasons. One, the diversity of the workshops that we have, from the vocational ed to the Lemonade Day and then the RESCO conference, is really impressive. And then the fact that it's going to be a group of young people from around the county who all have different visions for themselves and different visions for the future, and who are coming from a bunch of different backgrounds that will all come together for a day to meet about these topics and discuss these issues. I'm hoping that some connections are made between individuals at the conference, and then connections are made with the presenters and David, of course, who's going to be giving a keynote in the middle of the day. I'm just looking forward to seeing the individuals who are coming from all over the county kind of come together and experience this together and the ideas that come out of that. I think all of the topics are amazing and important, and I wish I could go to all of them, but I'm really looking forward to the conversations that you hear in the hall of the individuals attending the workshops and the kind of decompressing from each topic.
That's actually where a lot of the times the good stuff happens, isn't it, in the hallways and during
Definitely.
The coffee breaks. Hey, Kai, could you tell me a little bit about the Time Tunnel? I think that's a Saturday event, is that right?
Yep.
Definitely. That's a Saturday event all day, and the Time Tunnel is going to be off of the Teen Room at the Arcata Community Center, and it will give conference attendees an opportunity to give their view, their prediction, their newscast of what the future is or what the future will be. some of them may come back from the future and report back about what's happening 20 years down the road, 50 years down the road. And all of the individuals who go through this tunnel will have the opportunity to be a part of a video compilation of the conference, predicting the future. It's going to be a great opportunity for the community to see what our vision is, what our goals are, what we think might happen, what we hope will happen. And then it'll be wonderful to come back to this video 20 years down the road and see what we achieved and what we still need to work on. I'm really looking forward to the outcome of the video and what community members are going to prioritize, what they're going to predict, and what they're going to report back from the future.
Great. So it wouldn't be Humboldt County if we didn't address significant issues and serious issues without a little bit of fun. So Steve, I know you've got some fun cooked up for us all day Saturday.
The Electric Kinetic Samba Parade will be fun, especially since we have Samba de Moore doing the drumming. It's a community samba group that comes and does a lot of work. There's going to be some brass bands. There's going to be a bunch of schools representing and marching along. Humboldt Electric Vehicle Association will be there in force. I think we're going to have upwards of 10 or 15 cars and other vehicles. And that'll be followed by bicycles and pedestrians. We're going to circle the Health Sport Community Center parking lot right at noon. So if anybody's planning to come to the community center at noon, leave your car behind.
Let's make that a general announcement for the conference.
General announcement for the conference. We have valet bicycle parking. So if you roll up on your bike or if you walk and roll, you get a raffle ticket for a fabulous prize. If you take your car, you're welcome to park there, but it may take you a while to find a spot or you might have to park off site.
And if you are going to drive your car, I imagine you want people to carpool.
Carpooling would be good.
Right.
Yeah. Hovercrafts are fine, jetpacks, you can parachute in. Any way you can get there besides car would be great.
Isn't that how you arrive?
Yes.
Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm dropping
very
in
dramatic,
here.
Steve.
Yeah.
That's quite an entry. Okay. And then so the rest of the day is made up of a series of lectures and conferences and presentations, and then there's the trade show going on all day long.
And there's quite a few things for the younger kids and such. There's going to be a kids zone that will be helped put on by a group called Reuse, which will be making art projects out of different recycled materials around the area. The Ink people will be there, along with the 4-H. The local 4-H group will be having a farm animal petting zoo and educational farm activities, and the HSU Green Campus and Chico State Green Campus will be putting on a Save Energy Relay, is what I've been told is how it's going to go. So that should be pretty fun too.
That's great. Well, that sounds like a full slate of activities. Are you sure you can fit it in 2 days, Steve?
Sure. Well, that's what the time tunnel comes in.
Oh, you go back in the time tunnel, so you have an extra day to work with.
Back and forth, yeah.
Well, good. This is the fifth year, and I'm sure you've already started planning in some way or another for next year.
Can you give us a little teaser? We're going to be talking about adaptation. I think adaptation to a changing planet. My impression is that we will have a somewhat different climate, maybe not next year, but certainly sometime in the next 20. There's different geopolitical climate changing around the planet. There's all sorts of different monetary policies that are changing. There's things that are going to change, and we need to be looking at adapting to those changes so that we can continue to be a healthy green community.
And we need innovators and entrepreneurs to help guide us through that adaptation.
Lots of them.
Well, that's it. Thank you guys very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
So joining us today were Kai Neander, Tyler Kearns, and Steve Salzman of Humboldt Planet Green.
You've been listening to the Eco News Report. We are your hosts, David Narum and Kurt Cahoon. We've been speaking with Steve Salzman, Tyler Kearns, and Kai Neander of Humboldt Planet Green regarding the upcoming Planet Green Conference Saturday, April 2nd at the Community Center. If you have questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. And thanks today to our engineer, Fred McLaughlin. And join us again next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU and KHSR.